We have a number of guests lined up for you today. Kerry Post, Skip Foster, and Steve Sheridan, all these folks talking with us about what is Tallahassee. And then in the second hour, I'll have Cheryl Barlow. She's a able marketer, business owner. We're going to get her thoughts as we continue with this fine radio show.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Once again, we have gathered on this occasion when, as we do often around here, we're asking the question, who the heck are we? You know, I'm all about introspection on a personal and a collective level. I think it's healthy that we pause if we need to pause, or we simply take opportunity as we have that opportunity to say, who are we, what are we worth, and why are we here? You know, that's just, those are good guideposts. Think about, since I have it fresh in my mind, Carl and I were talking about lane departure warnings. Or how about your GPS, the correction that you get. You have left the planned route, so says the GPS voice. Guidance. And because it's not an individual choice, it's a collective choice. When we say, for Tallahassee, this is who we are, well, then it has to be then that, call it corporate, collective, community-wide discovery. And, you know, it's a mushy sort of thing, and it's always in flux. And maybe so, more so than we are as individuals. And yet, isn't it interesting? It is to me. You know, personalities, as we are, change over time. But then there are some constants. There are some things about each of us individually that people identify. They recognize. And they go, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Sometimes the pejorative terms begin to come out, don't they, Carl? Yeah, that guy's a jerk. Hopefully we're not recognized for our jerkness. But all of us have those jerky tendencies, don't we? We can kind of go there if we want to. I think most of us, most of the time, try to stay between the lines, stay within our lane, observe the rules of the road, we'd say. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how any culture works. Whatever those mores and norms and such are that move us, and it's problematic, I suppose, more so when some of those rules are archaic, out of date, antiquated, don't work anymore, or are couched in ideas that we just don't hold to anymore. You know, and there goes the business of social change over time. And when those rules are resistant when they're entrenched in a kind of thinking that continues to push back, well, then it takes a little bit more force, right? I mean, of course, in our culture, in our society, elections are supposed to provide us that means by which we represent, or we vote for those who represent us in some way and at some level. It's been working so far for a couple hundred plus years. Of late, there's been a lot of discussion about whether our elections are to be trusted and valid and well-managed and all of the sort of things that I'm sure by now we're all just ready to somehow move on with it all. Nonetheless, in the course of this community, we'll bring it back home, we've seen a lot of changes. And those changes are expressed sometimes in statutes and ordinances and you know, the formal controls. But the vast majority of that is really unstated as such. It's the stuff we do with one another from time to time in various ways. And again, because we like stereotypic thinking. And we like working inside of patterns that are familiar to us, right? It's like the route that you take to get to work every day, or the route you take if you're going to go to your favorite, you know, store. And you just have certain paths that you are familiar with and that you prefer. And sometimes you'll deliberately depart from that just to explore a bit. Some people will do that. I will do that. I wonder if I went this way, you know, and depending on what your level of measure is, that is to say, what do you find most valuable? Is it the time saving? Is it the distance? Is it the amount of gas you spend? Is it the sights that you see along the way? Well, all of those are going to influence your decision, are they not? You know, if your rule of thumb is, I want to get there the fastest, most efficient way I can. Okay, well, so that's your measure. And others of us might say, well, you know, I like looking at other things along the roadway as I go and discovering such things and all, whatever. So my little silly illustration there is simply to say, how do you decide that you're going to depart from what you've already become accustomed? How are you going to decide that you're going to depart from the manner in which you do business, the way you talk to other people, the way you think about Tallahassee? You know, when I got here in 78, I met people who were constantly reminding me of the nine generations of their family and how, you know, my family came over, you know, on the Mayflower or whatever. We've lived in the South all these 150 years or better. And that was a big deal for them. Okay. But I've also noticed too that in that way, people were trying to hold on to the things that were customary for them. You want to say traditional, familiar. And whenever that is, it seems to me, oriented around power, wealth, land, prominence, there's even more to protect there, right? So there's even more resistance to change. I mean, so again, when I got here, it looked like I'd gone back in time. You know, Tennessee Street looked like it was frozen in time out of the 50s. You know, with Big Boy's, Frisch's Big Boy restaurant down there. I mean, that was the watering hole, the eating establishment for, you know, for miles. That and Western Sizzlin' restaurant was still around then. That was it. At least among the common folk, we'd say, the working class. You know, from some of you might remember the Brown Derby or certainly the Silver Slipper. Well, that was for all the legislators. And, of course, the lobbyists. Both of those restaurants are gone. And in the last 20, 25 years, we've seen this rush of you know, restaurants from various chains, corporate owned, franchise owned restaurants that have come into town, and a lot of local restaurateurs. But all of that illustrates for me the kind of change we're talking about, where you start seeing the town you live in a much different fashion. And it happens sometimes rapidly, sometimes very gradually. So today's show is dedicated to that question. How are we doing? Who are we? Why are we here? And what are we really worth? What do we bring to the table? What is it that the world sees? Are we more than a football team or a state capital? How are we known by those who see us from a distance? Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Mike Sheridan is a Miami native who has lived in Tallahassee over 35 years and has spent his entire 56-year career in the insurance business. He founded FBMC Benefits Management many years ago, 42 years ago, actually. He continues to be an active chairman of the board of directors for that fine company, FBMC Benefits Management Company. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But here's what's even more interesting to me. He's been an environmental activist for over 40 years. Currently serves as a board member of Audubon, Florida. Known in the arts and theater community in Tallahassee as an actor, director, playwright. Founded the Irish Repertory Theater. And has been appointed as a civic leader among various groups across the community. Serves on a number of boards for nonprofit organizations. And he is our guest this morning. Hello there, Mr. Mike Sheridan. How are you?
Thank you, Brian. I'm delighted to be here. talk about everything that you want to talk about.
Well, this is the whole point, isn't it? And 42 years ago, you started this benefits management company. First of all, tell us a little bit about that. What does FBMC do?
We manage employee benefits.
Okay.
Mostly they're insured, but sometimes they're not.
Right.
For mid to large size employers.
Okay.
We can do business any place in the United States.
Wow.
And we're headquartered here, but we have offices in other places, from Houston to Jacksonville to Miami, West Virginia. We manage the state of West Virginia's employee benefits for all their municipalities and the state themselves.
Okay.
So we have... We're a company that has a fairly unique brand in our business. We're owned by our employees, which is unusual. We don't have any outside ownership.
Wow.
And
self-directed in that sense.
Self-directed.
Yeah.
We have an independent board of directors, some very outstanding people like Anita Favors Thompson, Steve Evans, Jerry Osterjung, Agnes McMurray, and I'm the chairman of that board. We have we offer all sorts of things. We also customize platforms and technology to meet the employer's needs.
Okay.
And we recently won a big award. We were recognized as one of the 100 most outstanding companies in the United States by that Applied Technology to meet their customers' needs, and that was by the CIO magazine.
Wow.
That does that once a year.
Very cool.
So that's our brand. That's our solution.
Some more accolades coming our way here, right in Tallytown.
Hooray.
Again, because because of this group of people that you thereby represent, and all the employees, all the people that contribute to our welfare, contribute to the landscape by way of this business. Yeah. That is not an uncommon thing for me to discover. And, you know, this radio show of ours, we spend a lot of time trying to make discovery. What are we all about here? What makes Tallahassee unique? How do we contribute to the world? Well, you've helped illustrate that right here at the beginning of this conversation. Now, that may be for some people kind of, well, you know, that's just, you know, sort of offbeat, and it's confined to what you do. But when you start looking at how a business of your nature and the size of your business contributes, think about all the employees and the families that you employ, and all of that that then translates into good for our community. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And on top of that, we try to stay very active in community and charitable organizations in which we make contributions. We have a team called Community and Community Services Team that has a budget from the company, but they also raise money, and they do things for various nonprofit organizations.
Cool.
Right now, if you were to come to our lobby area, it is getting full of materials that are going to go for the families in East Point that had their homes burned
indeed.
And damaged.
Indeed.
But we do things like Thanksgiving for elder care. We get our employees to fill baskets. They're really shopping bags, the big paper bags, for various people who are seniors who can't support themselves during that period of time for Thanksgiving. I have been doing this personally since I went to high school. I was Miami Jackson High School Hi-Wi, and that was our big event of the year.
And what was their mascot?
Jackson Generals.
Oh, yeah. Go Generals.
Go Generals. Jackson Generals, men of might. So we did this. And I just kept doing it. I did it with my children, and then I did it with my grandchildren, and I've done it with my company. And I believe that you'd have to talk to Mark Baldino, who is the executive director.
Yeah.
But I think we fed 67 elder families last Thanksgiving.
And what a work
and
he's
everybody,
doing.
Everybody participates. I personally go out and do the shopping for two families so I can carry two bags. But we do a lot more than that.
See, Mike, that speaks to this question of, we'll call it leadership, right? What does it mean to be a leader? And people have talked about leading, you know, trying to lead from behind. It doesn't work so well. But you've just illustrated how you lead from the front. You get out there personally, and this is something you would be doing, I think, regardless of whether anybody else did it or not.
I think that I think my primary role at this stage of my career for my company, and I am still the largest stockholder in the company, but is the culture. We have tried to have a certain culture that's important to us that becomes part of our brand.
I got you.
And it's all built on extraordinary customer service. And we've won awards for customer service and what we try to do for people. And, you know, the old story, the customer is always right. Well, the customer isn't always right, but they're always the customer.
Amen to
and
that.
And if they have needs, they have needs. We've got to fill them.
Wow.
So what we try to do is develop that relationship. So we're going to try to have a solution for their needs, not a standardized solution, but a solution that meets their specific needs for employee benefits.
He's the chairman of the board for this fine company, FBMC Benefits Management Company here in Tallahassee. And our guest this morning, Mike Sheridan, is with us. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. what to do, who to call. I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Carrie Post, we've been observing the fact, the two of us together, that in the last number of years, and I think you're right, 3, 4, 5 years has gone by, the arrival of significant changes to the downtown, the Gaines Street, the North End, the Northwest, all of these things happening, it seems as though they've all happened rather simultaneously, right? It's not just been this and then that. It's all happened at the same time. Some of that has happened by design, right? The whole blueprint thing. I mean, the people that were behind that said, you know what? No, we're not going to wait another 10 years. We're going to accelerate mm-hmm. that thing. We want that to happen now. You have those investments that have been made in the Frenchtown area that said, you know what? No, we don't need to go another decade. We need to make things happen right now. Then you have, as you've said, the organic, a part of how we're growing. And in that, and this is my question for you, and I talked about it in our first segment. There are parts of our community that don't feel good, don't make us real happy, and don't give us an opportunity to say, hey, look at us. You know, we have the highest violent crime rate in the nation per capita. That just doesn't look good on a business card, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not a good slogan for us. And yet there's the reality. You know, Richard Florida comes back and says, yeah, you're the most segregated economically and socially, not necessarily along racial lines, more along the lines of you have these pockets of people that just don't hang with each other. They don't do things together. They don't even know each other. And I'm reminded of this woman I met at a women's forum luncheon. When I asked her about Cascades Park, not only did she not know what it was when I explained it to her, she didn't care. She had no interest in it. And she said she's a branch manager for a credit union on the northwest side of town, where they live, work, and play. Now, to me, that doesn't seem unusual in the life of a city. Every city has its right, its districts, and its bureaus, mm-hmm. Boroughs, and you stay kind of where you are used to being. But we're such a small town that it seems sort of silly to me that, you know, it's not more than a couple of miles away from you, and in some cases, it's the people right next door to you. You know, you're living in a house that's worth $500,000, and two doors down, there's a guy in a single wide in the same neighborhood. I mean, that's also part of Tallahassee, isn't it?
I mean, truly, our diversity is our strength, I believe. And the fact that, like you said, I mean, we're really, as a community, pretty close, but there are some of those where there's not perhaps as much either interest or awareness of what else there is around the community.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And one of our roles, and basically since I've been in this position, I really see the value in educating residents uh-huh. on basically what all there is to see and do in the area, and that's really cool.
That's
because
an interesting point.
And part of it is statistically, again from our research, is about a third of the visitors that come here
yeah.
stay with friends and family. And so when you hear it, and it's, and like you said, all of us, I mean, you and I included, we, you know, you get, you're busy and caught up in your, you know, you're until like, you know, you got a,
right.
you got family coming in
right.
or friends and you're thinking, okay, where are we going to go? What are we going to, you know, that
yeah.
type of thing. So we are doing more, and you might see like the I Heart Tally campaign around
yeah.
that we want, because there is really a lot of cool stuff, you know, in this area. And
yep.
so part of our role now is doing more to educate residents on what all there is to see and do. Like I would say, mm-hmm. you know, to the colleague or the woman you had met, that if you mm-hmm. have kids, you know, you've kind of, it's worth the drive to go mm-hmm. to Cascades Park, and the drive's not that far from, you know, northwest part of the
right.
county, but to take your kids there. You know, so again, but I think a lot of it, to your point, is awareness of what's going on. There's actually a lot of free events, like for families and things like that. But it's, again, trying to help connect the dots in the community, I
yeah.
think, is important.
It certainly must make your job tougher when, and I think you were part of the whole Nashville trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
I was.
Came about recently. When people are asking you, okay, Carrie, we need to find our brand. Can you make us one? Make us a brand. How do you reply to that?
And that's funny you say that, because I did get asked that a lot. and what I would say to you, and again, and I'd go back to some things we've talked about, is it's your brand is like, it's your DNA. It's your personality. Mm-hmm. It's got to be organic. I mean, it's got to be real and who you are.
Comes up from who you are.
Exactly.
Right? Right.
And you are who you are. I mean, like you said, almost kind of, whether I say, you know, warts and all, but mm. some of it, I mean, obviously we promote a destination mm. for, you know, what people want to do, the outdoors, the nature. But, mm. you know, we are, the destination is, we are who we are. And one of the examples I gave in Nashville in talking with some folks, because they were like, just create something. Just, mm. we got to just come up with something. And I mm. said, it's got to be real. Think about when Las Vegas, when they tried to brand themselves as a family-friendly destination, and everybody looks like, whoa, I remember that was ridiculous, you know? And it's those types of things that, you know, it has to be real to who you are.
Yeah.
And so, again, I'd go back to, we are a very diverse community, and so that is part of our existing brand. I mean, that is part of who we are. But then there's also, I think, from some of the conversations in Nashville, perhaps a desire to have this one, you know, kind of moniker or silver bullet that defines
yeah.
all of us here
yeah.
and everything, and every organization can latch onto it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's feasible either, because we are so very diverse.
Right.
Right. But I think the discussion is good. And as we go on to say, there's certainly having discussions on what our brand is, but also the branding, the elements. It's kind of like one thing I say earlier, it's one thing how you see yourself, you know, that's your brand identity, but what other people think about you and how they perceive you is, you know, kind of the brand equity. And that could be very different than how you perceive yourself.
And in that capacity, that is a big part of your role, is to help us craft a message that brings who we really are to impact how we're perceived, right? That's sort of that intersection. So when people say, oh, well, you're Florida State University. Yeah, you had that quarterback that was like really weird and he was doing all kinds of weird stuff. So yeah, so you laugh when I say that. And at the same time, there's got to be a tear in your eye, because you're like, yeah, see, that's one slice of what we are.
Correct.
But we're a whole lot more than that.
Correct. And that's our job to
yeah.
really kind of, again, to broaden. And that's one of my personal
yeah.
missions, is to broaden the narrative.
It's got to feel like three steps forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you work and work and work and work, and then some headline hits the fan. And, you know, whether it's the crime rate or segregated city or a football player, I mean, wow. So when that happens, do you guys sort of close ranks, close the doors and say, okay, how do we work this? Or do you simply go, look, that's how we are, and that's part of our thing, and we have another agenda here that we're working, I mean, how does it impact you, I guess, when you see that stuff?
For most, I mean, and it's, we monitor it and we're aware of it. And then we see, like, are we starting to get a lot of negativity, like on our social media channels for something like that? So we monitor it and then maybe adjust accordingly. But generally, if it's something in the community that we have no influence over or control over, we monitor to see. And again, we'll, our job is to, again, to statutorily get people to come here, visit, you know, spend money, have a great time, and then go back home. And so they may not be coming here just for the university. They may be coming here just to go paddling down, you know, so it may or may not influence a travel decision. So that's where we kind of kick in when it's the travel decision. But one thing I would tell you, for example, when Hurricane Hermine came through and impacted us last year, we then that is where we all bunch up and we have a responsibility in messaging and putting things in place because we not only have visitors that are here, you know, in town that are impacted, but then those perhaps that have evacuated from somewhere else. So that's when we really will kick into gear because it is absolutely impacting the traveling public.
She's the head of our beloved Visit Tallahassee, charged with these responsibilities. Carrie Post is our guest. You stay with me. We've got more.
Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop offers front door service at both locations and plenty of outdoor seating at the Cary Forest Shop. Jerry's is committed to your safety during this pandemic, having sealed off the humidors to the public since March, which means the cigars are uncontaminated and ready to enjoy. To help our community, Jerry's is donating a portion of all Regina cigar sales to local food banks, with nearly $10,000 donated so far. Come see us at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop, with two locations, on Scherer Road and Cary Forest Parkway.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, folks, I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
So we're back and we're talking with Skip Foster. If you've just joined us in this lively conversation about our fair town and this here newspaper that he, God help him, he keeps pushing forward on it. He's got a little help, thankfully, from people like William Hatfield, his executive editor, and other very capable folks, too numerous to mention, but a few of them come to mind, Tamarin Waters and Bill Cotterell, who, you know, Bill's one of these guys who retires like six or seven times, and you guys keep dragging him back in, you know, but...
Well, I don't know. Is it that we keep dragging him back or he keeps coming
showing up, yeah. Well, I'm sure it's a little of both.
Either way, we're very happy to have any and all contributions that he can make.
Indeed.
He's invaluable to
he
us.
Is it. He is for us as well because I think of his history and his breadth of knowledge and his candor, of course.
You know what? Just sorry to interrupt, but with Bill, what I really value, and I think this is something that every organization can benefit from, is that he's not so wrapped up in our own organization that he's not willing to look at what we do critically. And so if there's something that's come up that I'm kind of like, did we do the right thing there? You know, Bill's where I go because I know he's not going to just... You know, he's not going to sugarcoat it, and he's not going to just kind of gratuitously say.
It's a two-edged sword, we'd say.
Yeah. Right. So that I'm telling you I think
that's very cool.
There's there's a lot of value to that,
no doubt,
know, especially in a organization that's built on judgment calls,
24/7.
Bill is he's very important to us.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you for your contributions as always. You think about all that the newspaper has done, is doing, continues to do for us, not the least of which is trying to help businesses locally promote and advertise themselves and the Tallahassee Media Group, as it is known among your ranks, seems to be pretty formidable. They've got some great tools and resources courtesy of Gannett as the owner of the publication. So that's kind of cool, you know, that, that you have that depth. Local agencies like Tallahassee ad agencies that we know, Alcom is one of those. We still have those kind of resources. But it's interesting, too, the kind of cooperative stance that you've taken in that here I am trying to help my client, and you're willing to make available to me as a marketer those resources and such that that helps me do my job.
Right.
You know, and it's a kind of collaborative attitude then at that point, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of businesses that don't, you know, need an agency because they're what they're doing is small, super small potatoes, or they've got in-house resources. And then there's some that do.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, we want to help businesses grow, and whether they are using an agency or not. And so we you know, I think there's some newspaper, some towns where the newspaper and the agencies have this kind of, you know, adversarial relationship.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. You know, there's plenty of room for both of us to work in that space.
And
right.
Need.
And and because of the expertise that Gannett brings to the table when it comes to particularly a lot of digital products and services, you know, we've got kind of that heavyweight behind us, which if you're a great big agency, you may not need. But if you're a smaller agency, it might help you out to know there's a local vendor. You know, you're not buying it from somebody in Idaho. There's a local vendor that does pay-per-click or reputation management or all of these kind of digital services and can, you know, you can have a local business be a touch point on that.
So, it's been pretty remarkable. In fact, again, I think this has happened of late where, as an agency, we reach out to your group and say, hey, we've got a client here. We've done some SEO work for them. Can you pull some numbers for us? Or can you make available to us a tool that we could then apply? And instead of it being this sort of snotty, well, no, you know, it's been more about how much, when, where, how do you want it done? That's refreshing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And we, and look, I mean, you know, there, it's both a challenge and a, you know, really good thing. The challenge is a lot of folks think all we've got to sell is the print product, and maybe it dawns on them that we've got a website we can sell. You know, we've got to get the marketing message out that there's
just
really
like the
no,
rest of us,
no digital product on planet Earth that we can't serve.
Yeah.
The other thing is we see when it's not being done very well in market.
Yep.
And there's some folks that purport, you know, that claim to be experts on digital marketing that, man, when you look at what they're doing, you know, they're really not. And
I did see the TV ad the other night, and this young lady, a model who is on camera looking third party to whomever she's talking to, right? And the opening line of the ad is, well, I'm kind of a web designer. Okay. So, so there you go, folks. If you're kind of a web designer, you might want to
kind of anything. You're probably not. I'm kind of an NFL quarterback.
That's my thinking too. But you know,
So that's the fun. I mean, for you know, I get to live in that world along with the content world, and it's and there's nothing more gratifying.
It's neat.
Than seeing a business grow or get good results off of something that we were able to help them with.
I asked you earlier what you love, you know, and you said, well, it's tough to pick out one thing. What do you not like about this town? What bothers you periodically, if not regularly?
Well, there's nothing that I look at and say, oh boy, if I'd known that was here, that would have really changed my decision, or that's a potential, you know, kind of deal killing thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's,
what's the stuff that just maybe makes you sigh, perhaps more than it would discourage you from continuing? But you sort of, you kind of roll your eyes, or you think, man, why does it have to be that way?
Well, I think there is. I think there needs to, back to the third leg of the stool. There needs to be a business friendliness and a business hyphen awareness that doesn't exist to the extent it could here. So I don't think you have people necessarily actively working against business. I mean, don't that's not right.
Yeah.
But I think there's not maybe an awareness of some of the impediments to business that may have been built up here over time.
Whether intentional or not.
Whether intentional or not.
Yeah.
And so I wish there was more activism, you know, from the public sector when it comes to being business friendly. And I guess the confusing thing to me is that that's such in the public sector's interest for that to happen, because it means you don't have to go through these painful tax rate raising exercises if you've got a growing tax base.
Wow, that'd be cool.
It's a big deal.
So in this first hour, we've heard from Kerry Post and Steve Sheridan, Skip Foster. You've gotten a sampling of these various perspectives about Tallahassee. Cheryl Barlow is standing by. She'll be with us through the entire second hour. You're going to learn a lot about what she knows, especially in regard to her having come to Tallahassee now 2 years ago. We'll be back with more after this break at the top of the hour. Stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, who is doing his very bestest to try to navigate this river of conversation and avoid as much of the whitewater as we can. Bringing you people who I think have things to say about who we are as a community. So we've heard from Kerry Post, director of Visit Tallahassee. All of these three conversations in the first hour from prior conversations we've had, prior shows we've had over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, of course, Skip Foster, known to most of us, formerly the publisher for Tallahassee Democrat. He's on to bigger and better things, no doubt. Haven't caught up with him lately. We need to do that. But and Steve Sheridan, who for his part is a good example of someone who started a business, grew that business, has done well with it, and has a lot to say about, you know, who we are, where we're going. And now comes Cheryl Barlow. She's in her own way and in her own capacity as a professional and as a woman who has established herself quite well during her career as a marketer, broadcaster, in sales and agency management and ownership. She's now working here, has her business here. So we're going to kind of pick her brain a bit. She's a delightful soul. You're going to enjoy listening to her, I assure you. And in getting to know her, I mean, we took it upon ourselves to invite her to be our agency director for Capstan Marketing, which is newly formed about a year and a half ago, because our company, Alcom Corp, had grown to the point where we had our our tentacles extended as far as we could here and around the country, with clients relying on us for a variety of different services. And among those, marketing services, public relations sorts of things, and where businesses who are either owner-operated or who have marketing directors, they can retain the agency to provide them those services. And as, when you have somebody like Cheryl Barlow, my goodness, you're talking to somebody who is old school in her origins, but man, she has she's adapted well and is really at cutting edge awareness of digital realities and digital advertising and such, stuff like geofencing and proximity marketing and all of that goes into how we best utilize, frankly, the advantages of the internet. And even for established businesses, and we see a lot of that, where they're trying to figure out how to move forward with their sales objectives. And we've got a few of those clients even now who look to us and say, I know I'm supposed to do something here. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And so Cheryl can step in and say, well, here's what we would recommend happen. And then we have an able number of creatives around us who aid in bringing to the client, whether it's video production or photography or graphic design, layout, and such. And so it's a kind of a happy family situation, I would say, and the clients are well served, so that's all good. But it happens that on this occasion, now that I've told you all the backstory there, our knowledge of ourselves and what we know about this community, I think, is aided when you have somebody who is new to town. Right. So when Skip Foster first got here, he'd been here 3 months, you know, I grabbed him and said, hey, come talk to us about your initial impressions of what how has Tallahassee impressed you with its own style and tempo and, you know, what is. And I remember Skip saying to us, he noticed that he had never been in a community where everything was political and that everybody always thought in terms of, you know, the other side. And he said people who shared common goals but yet opposed one another. It was kind of an odd way for him to have experienced the community. But in this case with Cheryl, I think you're going to find not only has she adapted well, she's already invested herself in this town, and there are a number of local businesses that are benefiting as a result of her work as owner of Barlow Business Services and as agency director for the aforementioned Capstan Marketing. A couple of announcements for you. Saturday, February 6th, coming up then in a few weeks, the virtual dance party in order to benefit local Rotary Club of Tallahassee Northside, the annual Daddy Daughter Dance presented by this Earl Bacon Agency and Auto Owners Insurance. They're all throwing their money behind it. But it's the Rotary Club of Tallahassee Northside fundraiser, something they've done for a number of years. Tickets are $40 per family, and photo packages are available if you'd like to purchase them. You can also register for a chance to adopt a purebred Havanese puppy. Is that how you pronounce that? Is it Havanese, Carl? Is that right? Havanese? We don't know. But it's a cute little puppy. There's a picture of it here. You still have some opportunities if you want to be a sponsor. You can do that and call 514-6234. Tickets are available online at rcotn.org. rcotn.org. It's going to be Rotary Club of Tallahassee Northside. rcotn.org. Anyway, this comes up February 6th. There's an early dance for 4th grade and below at 4:30. And a late dance, 7 p.m. for 5th grade and up. All of this is going to happen online, so you'll be you know, you'll be dancing in your living room while you're a part of this whole thing. And I haven't quite figured out how all that works, but in any case, it sounds like fun. They got DJ Mark that's going to be performing, I guess. Yeah, right? So you can watch from your device, your smart TV, or your computer with DJ Mark and enjoy it. Other announcements include our annual campaign to encourage all of us to give charitably to local food charities, including Echo, the Tallahassee Food Bank or Food Closet. There are a number of churches, my goodness, probably 25 or 30 churches on our list around the community that provide needed assistance for hungry kids and hungry families. The Tallahassee Food Challenge is on, and if you'll go to the website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, you'll learn more about how you and I can take up the cause and do our best to try to fight hunger in our community. This is about helping people in need. You know, the causes of these maladies in our community gets a little deeper, a little broader. In the meantime, we're going to do our best to try to bring immediate aid through the Tallahassee Food Challenge. You'll find out more if you'll go to the website. And, of course, we're in partnership there with our good friends at Second Harvest. So do that, and you will be much, much appreciated. Stay with me, folks. I got Cheryl Barlow standing by.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Cheryl Barlow is an able marketer, having worked with businesses of various sizes, as an advertising agency owner in television broadcasting, many years in the Rochester, is it Rochester or Rochester? I think they say Rochester, so I'm going to say Rochester, Minnesota. Some of her clients are very well known, nationally well known, and some are owner-operated, just like you and me, folks, trying to get through. So she makes her way to Tallahassee, and we're glad to have her. She's our guest this morning. She is the owner-operator of Barlow Business Services, and she is the agency director for Capstan Marketing right here in Tallahassee. Cheryl Barlow, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, Brian.
I stumbled through that more than I intended, but it's my way. So I'm going to leave it there because we're just going to get on with it. Good to have you after all these months. You've been in Tallahassee, what, 2.5 years, 3 years?
Just a little over 2 years. Just past my 2-year anniversary.
My God, it seems so much longer than that.
It kind of does.
For me, anyway.
I think because of this pandemic, it has messed up our, you know, what is time.
I have to tell everyone how you and I met at an event, an after-hours business gathering.
Back when we could meet.
Back in those days when we were unmasked, unfettered, and unafraid. And in that initial conversation, quickly discovered something that I don't find often, frankly, among people who are as experienced in business. And that was a level of curiosity, you know, that I think aids you, in my observation, because you come to the situation whether it's creating something for the client or working with a colleague without a whole lot of presumption. There's that aspect about you that you're there to learn and explore, and again, a kind of curiosity. So I think that's a refreshing asset, especially in this business of marketing people, because we know everything, right? And there is no curiosity anymore. And you don't need to tell us because we already know. I think that has helped a lot of the folks now that you're representing locally, and you still have clients around the country who rely on you. Just to give our listeners a little bit of a feel for your approach, I've given them some of that. Did you, like when you were in high school, did you say, someday I'm going to have my own ad agency? Was it that? Or was it more like, I need a job. I'll go work for this TV station.
You know what motivated me to get into the ad world was a TV show, of course. Ah. I watched Bewitched when I was really little, and Darren ran an ad agency.
Ah.
And I thought, that's what I want to do. And of course, my path zigzagged around through journalism and
my
other
God,
areas.
That's, so it, in fact, it really was something early on.
Right, right. And then I wanted a spouse that could do magic tricks, but I didn't get that. So,
do any of us ever get that?
No.
Well, I don't know. It's rare, isn't it? So early on, you were looking in that direction and then had to figure out what that means, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I do know, because of your, I guess, your firsthand knowledge about broadcast, television broadcasting particularly, and that whole sales arena, that's not an arena for lightweights, in my experience.
You gotta
come prepared,
right,
on all sides,
right,
you know, dealing with clients, dealing with colleagues, dealing with ownership, right?
Right. It's very closely tied to marketing, though. Salesmanship is, just because you have to find out what the client needs.
I see.
You can't force something down their throat. Right. What are you going to provide for them that's a benefit?
You know, that brings to mind, and oftentimes people ask me this, what's the difference, you know, between marketing and advertising and selling? How do you answer that?
I think too often times in businesses and corporations, it is lumped under one umbrella, and it really does take a different skill set. I mean, I think a person can have several of those skills in their repertoire, but selling, I think you really have to, if you are a salesperson, you really have to have a passion for meeting goals and that drive and fire. But the underlying commonality, I think, is that you do have to find out what the client needs and what is going to benefit them, and keep, you know, pushing that message at them,
right,
which
right.
is the same as advertising.
Right. Oftentimes then, as a marketer, you have Barlow Business Services, which is proficient in my experience with you, and diverse. I mean, you do a lot of different things that ad agencies these days are not as, I suppose, known for. Each one seems to have their little specialty, right? Mm-hmm. PR versus digital advertising, right? I'm just picking those out.
Right.
But you're doing all that stuff.
Right. What it comes down to, I think, is creating a message and then creating the content that talks about the message, and then figuring out the best, most efficient way to push that content out.
I have said this, that the medium is the message, you know, Marshall McLuhan's adage from back in the 60s, or at least the medium, and you said, is chosen because it may be best at delivering the message that you're trying to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
You abide with that idea?
I think so. I do think you create the message first and then choose the medium.
Hmm.
Sometimes you walk into a client who already has media choices in mind, and then unless they're far off, I really believe multiple mediums work.
Right.
Then you create the content and tweak it for the medium as well. And you can still get your message across.
One of my biggest, and it's something I hear from consumers a lot, the grievances having to do with the, I guess, the inadequacy of the production value, right? Mm-hmm. So you watch TV ads that are produced locally or even nationally sometimes, and you just sit back and go, God, that is so annoying. That's the worst TV ad I've ever seen. Or radio ads. In Tallahassee, generally speaking, you've been out there now for, you said, just going on 2 years?
Correct.
And you've been buying media locally and as well, I guess, regionally, nationally. Mm-hmm. Comparatively, you look back to, let's say, Rochester and other markets, how does Tallahassee size up for you?
I think Tallahassee is actually pretty affordably priced for how many people that you reach. Of course, when you buy media, you have to negotiate. You have to, even more so than negotiate, you just have to find the best venue for your client.
Mm.
You know, I could buy Super Bowl spots, but is that the best use of my client's budget?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Should I, you know, put them in local news, you know, because of what's going on? Is news something that people are more likely to watch? Or is there a hurricane coming? So I want to be, you know, doing weather sponsorships.
We're going to get into more of this as we step aside here real quickly. We've got Cheryl Barlow with us. She is the owner of Barlow Business Services, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Cheryl Barlow. And you said that for Tallahassee, as a media buyer, you're not unhappy with the rates that you deal with. Is there still a lot of negotiation that goes on with ad reps that you're trying to get the best deal?
Oh, there's always negotiation. If you don't negotiate.
You said with a smile.
Right.
Because you like that part.
I love to negotiate. You know, it's what you need to do. You just have to keep asking questions and dig deeper and, you know, see how much value you can get. Mm. And that's why your local rep is there as well, because they can advocate for you and they know what's going on within their own station or you know, print house, and they can offer up things if you keep asking questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you're not looking at the spot rate as much as you're looking at what?
I'm looking at the reach.
Ah.
So
that's all about efficiency. How many I reach for this dollar?
Oh. Right. I base an efficient buy on the cost per thousand. What did it cost us to reach 1,000 people? Not what did it cost us per spot? Because that can be very, you know, deceptive. Not saying the reps are deceptive at all. I'm just saying that that's not the right way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get your cost per thousand or cost to reach 1,000 people as low as you possibly can.
Yeah. I'd love to get after more of that. But for the sake of our conversation, with you having been this transplant, right, and you moved here 2 years ago, seems to me you jumped in with both feet. Got real busy with a lot of different organizations, local chamber of commerce and other groups that you belong to, the Rotary,
right? And Leeds group within the chamber. Has been fantastic.
Met a lot of good people.
I have.
Yeah. When you think of that, and it's a question that I often will pose for our guests and for our listeners, you know, who are we? What is this town really all about? So I would kind of give you an open-ended question there. As you think about what you've learned thus far about Tallahassee, what are your observations?
Well, as we said, I moved here 2 years ago from a place I'd been at for 40 years, basically, Minnesota.
Yep.
And And so it still is kind of shiny to me, but I looked at 9 different communities. I was going to make a move down south to get away from winter, and I visited 9 different communities.
The snow is coming, by the way. We will have snow.
No snow.
We just won't have 6 feet of it.
Yes.
Give me like 2 inches of it, and okay, every 10 years.
I can deal with that.
Okay, good.
Yes. But I chose Tallahassee. It was a clear winner. And the reason it was a clear winner was several reasons. I did meet a few people on my trip through. I'm very impressed with the business environment here. I was impressed, for instance, when I visited the Women's Professional Forum. The amount of women in this town that hold strong positions and their knowledge base, I was incredibly impressed with.
That's cool.
I was impressed with how people are so open to a newcomer and will start conversations. And it just, you look around the town, all you have to do is open your eyes and you see the building going on. You see the opportunity for more building going on. Mm-hmm. There's strong organizations. And just beyond that, the kind of the astounding beauty of the area as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just beautiful here.
You know, I find too, among business owners, especially owner-operated businesses, there's not as much participation in those groups that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have any interest in things like the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's in the majority, but there's a lot of them that, because I'll ask them, you know, well, have you participated in this or that? And they just don't have, they don't, not only do they not have the, let's say, the motivation, the curiosity, they don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're working the business.
Right. That does happen quite a bit. But, you know, I'm a part of the leads group, a leads group with the chamber.
Uh-huh.
And there are a few business owners there, or they're representatives of their business. So even if a business owner absolutely can't tear away to get to a function, pick somebody in your business and do it carefully. Don't force them. You know, maybe throw it out there and say, who would like to attend or be a part of this leads group or be a, go to this chamber function? So the chamber is very important. It, if I hadn't, you know, I'm not pitching the chamber here. That's not why I'm here. But that, right away, I knew I needed to be a part of the chamber to get into this community.
Right. And I've noticed that in the, on that note about chamber activity, I mean, there's more than one chamber of commerce. And I think by last count, I think there's 2 or 3. And in that respect, they each come at this business of development for local businesses with a little different point of view, maybe, and catering to a little different crowd of business owners, particularly. The Capital City, I believe it is, Capital City Chamber of Commerce, and then there's the Minority Business Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it challenging to move people in your direction, let's say, as that professional? The client says, I want XYZ, and you're trying to get them to better understand what that requires of them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm looking to you for some compare and contrast coming from Rochester to Tallahassee. Do you find it easier for people to kind of go, okay, I get it, I trust you, or not?
I would say no, but I expected that coming to Tallahassee, that I would, where I came from, Rochester, it was very easy for me to do business there because I had decades of building relationships.
True that, yeah.
So what I've had to do down here is basically case studies. You know, I just truly believe that when you have case studies and you have data, real data behind your results, and you have a way to put that together and share it with people, that tells the story.
I see. So it's more than just handing them a list of references and say, here, you can call these people.
Right.
You're illustrating for them, this is why we did what we did, how we did it, here are the results, huh?
Correct. Like, one example of that is I have a local client I work with, Deer Lake United Methodist Church. And during the pandemic, I mean, they lost their entire business. If you think about a church, it's people coming through the doors.
Yeah.
That's what they do for their youth groups, for Sunday service.
It's all about participation.
It sure
and
is.
And on-site participation.
On-site. Yeah. It's about coming together for fellowship. Well, we had to pivot very quickly and they did not have a YouTube presence before. We were just doing social media basically to for outreach. Yeah. And we quickly pivoted into building a YouTube channel. We've been doing that since March. They have 108 videos up there.
Neat.
And they've done this all without adding to their staff. We've just kind of shifted what people do internally and getting creative with the content. And so now it's on YouTube. It's on a digital platform. So there's all kinds of data behind it that tell a story.
Creative. Did you, when you're talking about creating content, did you craft all of those videos yourself? How did the video production take place?
Oh, this will be embarrassing to tell because it was so minimal. The first probably half of the year, we did it with an iPhone. That's how we recorded the service.
But that's saying a lot these days because
right.
iPhones will rival a lot of, you know, high-end right. gear in some respects.
Exactly. We've,
if you know
we've
what you're
gotten
doing.
A little fancier with it, added a few pieces of equipment, but the investment, very minimal.
Yeah. And then the people who are actually doing that work, are they working for you, or is that third party? Are they church members? Who actually does the video?
Who actually does the video? I would shoot the video, so myself, and I'm not a videographer. But, you know, with the tools out there today, you can do things yourself. And then we just shifted the people inside who used to sit there during the church service and run audio and run the PowerPoints up on the big screens. And they did a little bit of editing and putting it up on various platforms.
So you're able to enlist those who had some connection there and familiarity with the process. Folks, talking to Cheryl Barlow, trying to get for us both and for you a better perspective on Tallahassee's business community and how, in fact, all of that is sort of wrapped into and emanates from who we are as a town, this business of knowing ourselves better. And Cheryl's doing her best to try to help us figure that out. So you stay with me, folks. We got more Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Cheryl Barlow. She is the owner of Barlow Business Services here in Tallahassee, newly arrived, fairly new. She's been here a couple of years, getting from her a perspective on what she's discovered thus far. So in our conversation, no really glaring bad news, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I was hesitant, but I should ask. I mean, have you had bad experiences thus far in Tallahassee that you would, other than building your house, that was probably the most stressful part. And dealing with a cable company, that can be stressful.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, getting internet access at your home.
That was tough.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, these are just, right? That's kind of the first world kind of problems that we deal with. Other than that, sounds like you've been well received. And were you operating Barlow Business Services back in Rochester, or was that a sort of new creation for you when you got here?
I had been operating Barlow Business Services for a little over a year up in Rochester. And prior to, you know, I developed that business to become a solopreneur. I had previously had an ad agency with 22 employees. Wow. And, you know, when I looked at the Tallahassee market, they have big ad agencies, but I didn't see kind of a solopreneur who would do it all for them or handle the small to mid-sized businesses. Yeah. So I thought, wow, this, you know, along with everything else that I loved about Tallahassee when I visited, I thought that was a niche that could be served.
That is, in fact, what I found intriguing about you working with us here. And when Cheryl and I first met, full disclosure here, I was looking for somebody who could say, yeah, I want to be the captain on that ship, referencing the capstan idea, which all of you nautical people know exactly what that is. I had to be taught. But it is that, what would you call it, a pedestal on the deck of the ship that is used to apply leverage when you're hoisting the anchor. So, okay, so we're trying to draw the metaphor to apply to your work when you're working with a client who may have limited resources, and who would not have limited resources, right? Everybody's resources are limited, but who have great ambition. So it's, how do I get there from here? And it seems to me that capstan, i.e. Cheryl Barlow, is that point of leverage where you can negotiate the rates, you lay out the strategy. And it seems to me too, like with your example, you went a step further because you even helped them rethink how they go about delivering. Now, restaurants had to do that immediately, mm-hmm. roadside, drive up, pick up, delivery, all that had to happen on the fly. Some mm-hmm. of them did well, some of them did poorly, some of them are gone. Just right. couldn't make it. But here's a church that said, okay, Cheryl, we're open to ideas here, we're listening. Mm-hmm. Was that sort of a dictate from you, or how did you initiate that whole process happening?
You know what? It was a collaborative conversation with the people within the church. And the pastor at that time, he was going to be retiring in May. And he thought, oh, I'll just coast till retirement. But then the pandemic hit. So he started the process. And there's a new pastor in there now, Pastor Bobby Brooks, who has just really done a fantastic job and embraced the digital world. Mm. So it was they were willing. You know, they were willing to look at it differently, and they always kept their customer, I'm doing air quotes, in mind. How do we get the word out to our customers? And so because they always have that at the forefront of their minds, they are willing to do these, you know, just pivot and do things that work in today's world. And by going on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram with videos, we switch to a lot of videos, they have increased their reach to, just since the pandemic, they've reached 11,700 viewers, which is five times the amount they could have reached just doing in-person sermons.
And are any of those videos monetized? Do you pay to play kind of thing, or no?
Nope.
They're free?
They're free.
But has the church realized then people willing to donate to them in some fashion?
Right. They've worked out a strategy where they get that message in. It is, of course, not the forefront of the message, but there are people who still want to give. And the thing about doing it during the pandemic is you have to make it easy for them.
Yeah.
You know, can I just click and donate?
And you've done that.
Right.
Wow. So many times I think business owners, and maybe this is true of Tallahassee particularly, and again, I'd be interested in your cross comparison, are in some respects afraid. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a business owner said, I know I'm supposed to do something, but I don't know what to do, and so I'm afraid to do anything. And it doesn't matter. I mean, but because so much of that media landscape is so novel, and here you are living and working in that constantly, I would imagine that big part of your job is to stay fresh. You're constantly having to figure out, okay, what's this next new thing?
Right.
Yeah.
It's totally fine to steal ideas. And by that, I mean, looking at who's doing it right, who's having a lot of success, and then how can you adapt that for your business? And yeah, and don't be afraid. You know, you have to do something fresh and new. And if you don't know how to do it or how to get started, that's okay. as business owners, you're resourceful and you know how to find good people to help.
Interestingly enough, you pointed to this. You said, you know, here was a pastor and now another pastor, both of whom said, we're willing to be taught and we get it and we want to embrace this new digital world that we're living in without pushing back or without throwing up their hands. I can't, it's too much. It's striking to me, and you've done this when you said, air quotes, customers. There's a kind of weirdness there, don't you think, about church and other nonprofit organizations when it comes to marketing themselves, as if somehow that's
a dirty word.
Yeah, sort of unsightly, and you know, you shouldn't be trying to sell your stuff out there. But the process is really the same, isn't it?
And really, nonprofits, churches, they have an obligation to their parishioners or to the people they serve to market themselves. And marketing is simply educating people on what you have to offer, how they can get it, you know, what it will cost them, how you can help.
Yeah. Folks, if you have Cheryl Barlow working with you, I think you're in good shape. And I'm delighted to say that she has made her first time appearance on the show. We gave her a couple of years, okay? Let her get her, you know, feet on the ground and all that good stuff. But trust me when I say, I hear often from people around the community how much she is doing and has done to contribute to the welfare of their enterprise, whether it's a church or a business. And then all of those other boys and girls that she continues to care for back in Rochester. It's a big job, but she's doing well. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure having you. Cheryl Barlow, my friends, that's what I have for you this week. I want to tell you that we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, playing all local musicians and their original songs all the time. That is the Sound of Tallahassee. You'll find them at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.